Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Vayeshev. We have 6 Divrei Torah. Just a little bit background to start out with. It's a famous Parsha. As is known, Yosef was 17 years old, and he was the favored son. He did not get along with a number of his other brothers. They were jealous of him, and it did not help that he's having these dreams that they will bow down to him. And in fact, the Psukim say that those dreams elicited 2 emotions, emotions of hatred, emotions of jealousy. And in fact, Yaakov was somewhat involved in causing the jealousy by giving Yosef the technicolor dream coat. And it was fairly well known that Yosef was the favored son. And in that context, the brothers were out. They were shepherds. And the Pasuk says that they had gone to Shechem to be shepherding the flock. And now Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, go check on your brothers, see how they are doing. And the language of the Pasuk in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yudalit, is as follows. Lech na re'e et shalom achecha. Go and check how your brothers are doing. Shalom achecha, the peace, how things are going, if they're being successful, if they need anything. And the Rebbe from Pshischa says something very interesting. He says this word shalom. The message here that Yaakov Avinu was giving to Yosef is go and focus on their shleimus. And what does that mean? He's telling that Yosef that you have to look at the positive side of them. I know that you believe, and it may be true, that there are deficiencies in your brothers. There are deficiencies in everyone. But what you have to look at is not at the specific issues that you have with them, but look at their shalom, which their shleimus. Look at their entirety. Because in their entirety, acknowledging there will be downsides and deficiencies, but there will also be beautiful, positive characteristics as well. And when you're going to focus on the positive of somebody, as opposed to the negatives of somebody, that indeed will prevent machlokas, as we have had way too much as Yaakov in this family. So it's a beautiful message. Lech na re'e et shalom achecha. Go look at the shleimus of the brothers. Look at the positives. Don't look at the negatives, and by doing that, we will be able to avoid the continuing controversies in the family. In fact, if we look in Pirkei Avos, there are a couple of interesting Mishnayos that actually bring out this same message. I forget who I heard this from, but it goes as follows. In Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, it says, Da hevidan es kol ha'adam l'kav zchus, and you have to judge every person in a positive way. And if you look at the language, it doesn't say hevidan et kol Adam lekav zchus. It says hevidan es kol ha'adam lekav zchus. Why is that? And we'll get to the second Mishnah shortly. And the explanation is as follows. When you have somebody that you may not feel so positive towards, you have to make sure to look not only at those character traits, as we said before, but hevidan is called ha-adam. Look at the entirety of the person. That's why it says the hey in advance of Adam. Don't look at Adam, the specifics. Look at ha-adam. If you look at the entirety, you're going to find positive things and positive merits, and then you will judge them in a positive way. Similarly, a little bit later in the same parak, Pirkei Avos, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Tezvav, it says hevi makabel es kol ha-adam b'sefer panim yafos, that you should greet everyone with a positive way. Again, you may have people that you don't like for specific things, but if you look at the entirety, as kol ha-adam, at the entirety of the person, you will find positive things to look at, and accordingly, you will be able to greet them with a positive face on. In fact, just continuing in this similar vein of what the Rebbe from Pshischa was saying, make sure to look at the positives, not the negatives of somebody. Rav Eli Melech from Lizhinsk actually had a tefillah. In his tefillah, he would add the words, Shinire kol echad ma'alas chaveirenu v'lo chesronam. The prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that we should be able to look at the positive side of people and not at their deficiencies. We are now moving on to Dvar Torah number 2. The brothers see Yosef approaching. They set up a basting. They had a lot of brothers there, so a basting of 10. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, they joined in on the basting. And the brothers indeed wanted to kill Yosef. They were of the view that he's a rodef, he is a pursuer, that he is a threat to them. And they decided, we're going to have a gzardin. We decide we're going to put him to death. But Reuven saved Yosef. Reuven said, we're not going to kill anyone. That's not going to happen. And he had a new idea. Let's put him down in the pit. We'll put him down in the pit. Reuven had in mind that he's going to come back later and save Yosef. And the Pasuk says as follows. This is Dvar Torah number 2 in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vyashlichehu Oso Habora, and they threw Yosef down into the pit. And it's the famous language, Vabore Kein Bomayim, the bore, the pit that they threw him into was empty. There was no water in it. And Rashi brings the Chazal, the famous Chazal, the Diuk, so there was no water in it. So what's that teaching us? Okay, there was no water in it, but there were snakes, there were scorpions. It was deadly down there. It was poisonous down there. This is not a good situation for Yosef. So there's a very nice vort brought by the Avnei Ozel on this pasuk, and we'll get back to the pasuk in a little bit. And he says that the one tool that we have to counteract the Yetzer Hara, the one means, the one defensive method that we have to be successful against the Yetzer Hara is the Torah. That's what Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Kiddushin, Barati Yetzer Hara. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I have created a Yetzer Hara, Barati La Torah Tavlin, and I also have given you the antidote, and the antidote is the Torah. So there are negatives and evils in the world, but the Torah is here to save us, and we have to use it properly. We have to make sure to be learning Torah and instilling the values of Torah into our lives. And the Avnei Ozel continues that in a place that there is no Torah, Bimkom She'ein Torah, inevitably there are going to be nechashim va'akravim. There are going to be snakes and scorpions. What does that mean? So snakes and scorpions symbolically represent negative, represent the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, the negatives in the world that the Satan tries to attack us with. And what the Avnei Ozel is telling us, we have the Torah, we have the protection. If we don't use the Torah, then we don't have the protection, and inevitably we are going to be attacked by the snakes, scorpions. Those are the tools of the Yetzer Hara to attack us in this world. And accordingly, this is how the pasuk can be read. We'll get back to our pasuk now. It says, "Vayishlichehu so abora v'aborek ein bo mayim." So there's a remez in the pasuk to this mayim ein bo. This is what Rashi said. Mayim ein bo. There is no water in it. And what that means is, if we don't have mayim, which is Torah, ein mayim ela Torah. If we don't have Torah, certainly then nechashim v'akravim yesh bo. There will be snakes and scorpions, which means the things that will attack Klal Yisrael and each individual who doesn't adhere to the Torah, they will be attacked by those dangerous forces. And you can have no other way to protect yourself if you don't have the Torah. So again, Mayim Ein Bo, if we don't have Torah in our lives, inevitably there will be Nechashim V'akravim Yesh Bo. There will be the attacks that we have on our values, on our midos, on our shmiras mitzvahs. And unless we use the Torah, we are really going to be left without protection. So we see from here that it's really one or the other. If we don't have Torah, if we don't have that mayim of Torah, inevitably there is tuma. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, fast forwarding in the parsha a little bit. We are in Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Chafalef. What happened was, after the brothers, they sold off Yosef. And in fact, Yehuda said to sell Yosef off. And we saw when the brothers went back to their father and they showed him the coat, the technicolor dream coat, they had dipped it in animal blood. And Yaakov assumed, as anyone would, that this is, obviously it's the coat of Yosef, and he must have been killed by an animal because his blood was all over it. And subsequent to that, after the brothers saw the grief of Yaakov, Yehuda was basically deposed from his position of leadership. He was the leader of the brothers, and now he was deposed. He actually went to live elsewhere because he was really, literally deposed from who he was, and he left. And Yehuda, who had said to sell Yosef, the brothers, effectively, this is brought by Rashi, the brothers are basically saying, you told us to sell him. Had you told us to bring him back to our father, we would have listened to you. That's why they said you can no longer have your role of leadership. And unfortunately, things went a little bit south for Yehuda at that point. He married off his oldest son to Tamar. The oldest son passed away, second son to Tamar. second son passed away. He refused to marry off. She didn't tell her that, but he was refusing to marry off his third son to her. He was concerned the third one is going to die. So he tells her, you know what, let's wait. Let's wait till he gets older. So that didn't happen. So at one point, Yehuda is traveling at the crossroads, and he sees a harlot there, and he decides to partake. And he did so after bartering what would be the pay, and she says, you have to leave me a down payment, effectively. You have to leave me collateral in order to ensure that I'm going to get paid. So he left that. And thereafterward, Yehuda sends his good friend Chira HaAdulami to go and make payment. And when Chira goes in search of the harlot, Yehuda didn't know it was really Tamar, she had disappeared. And Chira's looking for her in our pasuk. This is Dvar Torah number 3, by the way. It says as follows, Ayei HaKdesha, Hi Be'einayim Al Hadarach. Where is that harlot? Where's the prostitute? She was here at the crossroads. That's the Einayim Al Hadarach. And on the road, she was at the crossroads here. So there's a very nice explanation here, or really important message that can be brought out by this pasuk. It's brought by the Maharam Mishfarsak, and he says as follows: Ayeha Kadesha. Kadesha is Kodesh, holiness, but on the other hand, it also means the opposite. It's used as a phrase to represent promiscuity, the worst of the worst. That's why it's called a harlot. It's a Kadesha. And the question here is, Ayeha HaKadesha, where is the source for all promiscuity in the world? Where do we have the basis for when people do inappropriate things and they go and use a harlot or even short of that, look at pornography? Where does this all come from? And the answer is in our pasuk, Al-Pi Drush, Hi De'einayim Al-Aderach. It is because of the eyes, our eyes that are wandering on the roads. In other words, if we aren't controlling our eyes, the men are not controlling their eyes especially, but women as well, and they're looking at things that they should not be looking at, that is what is the source for all promiscuity. So, Ayei HaKadesha, where's the source for all this harlotry and promiscuity? Hey, Be'einayim, it's because of the eyes that are on the road, looking where they shouldn't be looking, because in fact, Chazal tell us, Eina v'liba treis asuri dechata. What causes the chataim in this area? The einayim, our eyes, and the heart that we have. Those are the two messengers that are causing us to sin. And Chazal also tells us, ha'ayin roa v'alev chomet. It starts with the eyes looking, and then once the eyes see something that is desirous, it's the heart that desires thereafterward. So it all starts with the eyes looking at inappropriate things. We are now moving forward to the occurrence of Yosef in Potiphar's house. Before the attack of Potiphar's wife, the pasuk says, this is vort number 4, Perek Lamites, pasuk Beis, Vayesh Shemes Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yosef. Yosef, he's a slave, he's an Egyptian slave, he's a Jew, he's in a foreign country, he has nothing going from him, he has no assets, he has nothing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him, and that's all you need. And the pasuk continues and says, "Vayhi ish matzliach." He was a man who was successful. "Vayhi bebeis adon avamitzi," and he was in his adon's, his master's house, the Egyptian master's house. So the Das Keni Mibalei HaTosfos say something very interesting. They say that there are really two groups of people. There are some people that cannot worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu except when they are impoverished, when they don't have a lot of money. Money gets them off track. The pasuk tells us that. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. When Jeshurun got fat, he kicked. In other words, when people start to make money, the good times kick in and they forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are some people indeed that would happen to. If they would win the lottery, they would forget everything and they would go and live in wherever it may be. They would go live in Atlantic City, or they'd live in Hawaii and just live off the fat of the land, and they would forget about Yadus. No offense to anyone who lives in Hawaii, but to go on vacation in Jamaica permanently and then forget about everything else. So there's some people that it's only when they don't have means that they're really Avdei Hashem. On the other hand, there are other people that they can only be Avdei Hashem from Osher, from Harchava, when they have substance, when they have a lot of wealth, that's when they can spend the time, they can learn the Daf Yomi, they can make minyan, But otherwise, they're not successful. Why? Because anios maviras adam al dat dasov al das kano. When somebody is impoverished, it takes them out of their mind. It takes them out of their ability to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some people are like this. Some people are like that. Some people need to be somewhat impoverished to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some people need wealth to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Yosef is telling us and teaching us, and the Torah shows us that Yosef Ahi Hashem Es, Yosef HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yosef either way. Either way Yosef was, Vahi Ish Matzliach, whether he was a man who was successful, or whether Yosef was a person who was an Eved, Bebeis Adon of a Mitzri, either way, Yosef focused on being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yosef. And all the, obviously the message from this Das Kenemi Balei Tosfos is, whatever our situation in life, doesn't matter, wealthy or not, we have to be an Eved Hashem. We have to be worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to be Shomer Mitzvahs. In fact, in the halachas of Koveya Itim Latorah in the Shulchan Aruch tells us that there's an obligation to be Koveya Itim Latorah regardless of your situation, whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you're healthy, whether you're not, whether you have kids that take up your time and a wife who take it or not. It doesn't matter. There's an obligation to be Koveya Itim Latorah twice a day, during the day, and at the night, v'hagisabo yomam v'layla. So that is indeed what we were seeing with Yosef. The consistency, regardless of our economic or other circumstances, v'hi Hashem es Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Yosef, because Yosef was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to add on to this, maybe this is an additional vort, maybe we'll have seven today, but we'll call it 4a. 4a, the Beis Yaakov says as follows, because Yosef was the Beis Adonav HaMitri. It's because Yosef was in his master's house. His master was an Egyptian. It was a very secular environment. That's why Hashem Ito, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had to be with him. When somebody is in that context, in their environment, they need extra protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Beis Yaakov brings a parallel to watching over our wine. If we have wine that can be Yayin Nesach, it's not Mevushal, and it's open, and a non-Jew is around. So if it's in our own houses and there's not a non-Jew around, we don't have to watch it so much. We don't have to be concerned that a non-Jew is going to lift it up and touch it, and it's going to become Stam Yenam. We don't have to worry about that. But when that jug of wine that we have is in a non-Jew's house, we have to be careful to watch over it very carefully. We have to watch over it till the end. Why? Because if that non-Jew would come and touch it, that is going to make that wine usher. And the concept here is that we have to be especially vigilant if we are in a more secular context. That's what we have with the wine. If the wine is in a non-Jew's house, you got to be very vigilant. And the same thing the Beis Yaakov is saying when it came to Yosef. Why was Vahi Hashem es Yosef? Because Vahi Bebeis Adonav, when you're in your Adonav, your Mitzri's house, that's when we need the extra protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we're moving forward to Vort number 5. As is known, Potiphar's wife had a high interest in Yosef. And she was incessant, day in, day out, she persisted over and over again, and he thwarted her. And the Pasuk says, Lamites Pasukhes Vayemaen. He refused, and only thereafterward Vayomar, he explained. And the Sfas Emet says as follows, we learn from here an important lesson, that when the Yetzer Hara is attacking us to do an Avera, whatever Avera it may be, first and foremost, before discussion, before explanations, we have to say, no, I'm not going to do it. V'yaman, v'yaman. Yosef refused. I don't have to explain it. I'll explain afterward. Number one is no. Afterward, then we can give explanations. Why? I'm not going to violate the desires of my master. I'm the only person who has the keys to the car in this house. He trusts me totally. I'm not going to do it. An explanation. But first point is, V'yame'en, we need to say no. We are now moving forward to Vort number 6. And Vayavok Habaisa Lasos Melachto was on that day. It's Perek Lamites, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that Yosef, that one day that he came, he came into the house. Everyone was out for a holiday, so it's just Potiphar's wife and Yosef. Rashi says as follows, La sos rachav nichnas. He came in, He came to do his needs. He came to do. But, and it was tempting. Potiphar's wife was tempting there. The Yetzer Hara is attacking again, and no one's going to find out. So what kept him from getting involved with her right then? No risk. Everyone's out for the day. He saw the image of his father. Rashi brings the Chazal. That's what he kept him. He saw the image of his father. He saw something like that, the tzidkus, the righteousness of his father. That's what dissuaded Yosef from continuing, from participating in any of the activities that Potiphar's wife desired to have. So there's an interesting word that's brought by the Paradis Yosef as follows, that the derech of Yaakov Avinu, is that when it came to his dress, he stuck with his dress and also his deos as well, his opinions, his views, he stuck with traditional garb. That was his Masorah. He dressed like a Yid, and he wasn't influenced by the styles of the day, trying to beautify himself, trying to look more modern. That wasn't for Yaakov Avinu. On the other hand, Yosef had a different shita. Yosef's shita was that he wanted the outside to resemble the tzidkus, the righteousness he had on the inside. He wanted to beautify himself. And beautification to him meant beautifying yourself as was dictated or desired by the styles of society at that time. In fact, Rashi tells us, he brings the Chazal, that he was Misake Misaro, he used to straighten and comb his hair, beautify his hair, he would beautify his eyes so he would look nice. So Yosef, in fact, he was a tzaddik gomor inside. This externality was simply to reflect the beauty on the inside, but he reflected it with the societal styles and not the Jewish conventional styles. And accordingly, because of his looking outside in a more modern, stylistic way, the wife of Potiphar said, this is his outside. She didn't understand the inside. And this is his outside. And he said, oh, he's pretty developed, advanced. He's pretty up on the styles of society right now. And accordingly, something like that is going to want to participate with me in my desires, want to have a relationship and an affair with me. That's what she read from his externality, from his externals. He's not going to refuse. And she didn't know. She didn't know who she was dealing with. In fact, the Zohar says something powerful, Vaitit Beseyu Bibigdo, that she grabbed onto his clothing. The pashtus is in the pasuk that she grabbed onto his clothing physically, but the Zohar says that the whole reason that she thought she would able to attract him, that the whole reason that she was interested in him was because of his external view, how he looked because of his clothing, because it looked modern, it looked updated, it was stylistic. Vatit Peseo Bibigdo is because of that clothing that was attracted her to, and that's why she really attempted to have an affair with him. That's what the Zohar says. Beautiful. And accordingly, when Yosef saw on that very day that it was happening, that this is leading in a terrible direction. It's the clothing that's causing it, his externalities, Vatit Peseo Bibigdo, that's what's bringing her attraction on. That's when he decided right then that my approach is wrong, that the approach of my father is correct. My approach brings on the Yetzer Hara. And accordingly, right then he saw that there was no fending it off because of the externalities, unless Nira lo dmus diokno shel aviv. The Pashto says he saw the visions of his father, but the part that Joseph brings as follows, Nira lo is also a language in Chazal that I agree with somebody. Nira lo is roe ani es devarav. I happen to see his way. I see his words. And now we have Yosef saying, Nira lo, I agree with the approach of my father that when it comes to dress, it has to be more conventional. It can't be so stylistic. It can't be so based on the externalities. But it has to be something that is going to thwart the approaches of others. It's going to have to give off a proper message that I'm not necessarily, or I'm not one of them. I'm a little different. It doesn't have to be that we dress like the Amish. Doesn't have to be that we dress like that, but it should send a message that we are different. I know that there was once a student that I had, and he went off to a university, secular university, and he decided that he's going to dress very differently from everyone else. And he decided he's going to go to class with his black hat all the time, secular society, and he's going to wear his black hat all the time. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to do that, but We don't have to take on the stylish norms of the secular society. We should dress a little bit different. This is our malbush, the malbush of a yid. That's what we saved us from Mitzrayim. That's what got us out of. One of the things that we stuck with was that we dress a little bit differently. And that's what now Yosef, in the end of the day, he saw that his father indeed was correct, that by focusing on the dress in a different way, in other words, not to be too stylistic, but to be a little bit more conservative and to be different from others when we're in that secular environment, indeed, that's a very positive thing and will thwart the Potiphar's wives from attacking. Not necessarily the women attacking, it could be men attacking women, women attacking men, but the Yetzer Hara attacking, others being attracted, if we can just look a little bit different, that indeed would assist greatly. Have a wonderful day.